Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to El Islam-based conversations. We're happy to be with you tonight. Hope you all can say there's a mutual feelings about that. They're mutual. On Monday, let me start it like I want to start it, which is presenting the promise that I try to live up to, which is to not insult your intelligence or waste your time. That's been a mantra, a mission, sort of a decree that helps me stay, you know, hopefully on my best, I won't say game, but my best attempt at trying to share information that I think will benefit you as it has benefited others and is benefiting me tremendously. I mean, I really sometimes have to pinch myself and say, well, you know, what have you done to deserve this, and what do you need to do to continue, you know? I've seen situations, and I've been in situations where I start and stop and start and stop, and I need to stop stopping and start starting, you know? And that little, I don't know, saying, I mean, it just sort of frames it for you, you know, so you can have a future reference, you know. Stop stopping and start starting, and don't stop, you know. Make sure that your life consists of daily information and make sure that education is a big part of what you're doing, because sometimes we're being informed, and I see it every day. It's just information, but it's not revelation. So it doesn't guide us. It may make us feel good. It may equip us to do better materially. And I think that's really what is the turn on for a lot of people. They see these individuals that are celebrities or seem to be successful, and we get the "I want to be like you when I grow up" bug, you know, or "I want what you have," you know, and I want to find out from you how you got it, and once I get it, I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to be successful, and I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to be happy. And that's the way it's marketed to us, you know. Whether you have a role model or whether you have someone you are being mentored by or you respect or you want to be like them or you get great benefit from what they have to say, they can't take the credit. It would be unjust to you and them for any of us to take the credit. It was here before we got here. It's going to be here before, after we leave. And it's not ours. It's just not ours. We're not the originator of it. You know, we can't take it back, or we can't give it to a few select and not others. No, we have to give it like it's not ours. And if it benefits somebody, praise be to God. That's the role of a servant. You serve humanity and you help God by serving humanity. And you please God when you serve humanity. So it becomes easier to do because you see the benefit almost immediately. And if you start in the right place, not outwardly trying to save somebody or, you know, taking credit for their, he's up and taking, she's up here taking out shahada because I went by every day and I filled it up with Islam. Well, part of that has some truth to it, and I'm sure that they would be happy to say they happy that you came into their life and you did whatever. But then Allah clears it up for us. He tells us, and if we understand and believe and read enough, and we'll see. He tells us, I make Muslims. Now, that's twofold commitment there. You're born a Muslim, and I made it that way. But when you become capital M Muslim, headed to Mukman, I have to take credit. All the credit and praise go to God. He had the message that was proper. He had the environment helping you before the message got there. You know, it's just like a baby. When we get here, everything we need is already here. Above and beyond the level that it has to be. I mean, there's not a provision that we don't need that's not already here when we get here. Now, was it always that way? Yeah, but we didn't always have the ability to go into the earth and do the mining and bring out the full benefit, you know. And then when we did, we got a little tipsy, you know. We got influenced by influences that were designed to lead us astray to prove a point of the influencer. And you know that's not a good start. You acknowledge that there is a God. You believe in that God. What you do believe that counsels all that, what I just said, is that you believe he's making a mistake. He's choosing a mortal human being, a flesh and blood human being, an Adam-like figure over him. And he goes out and asks God, to, according to the story, to give him time to prove that to him and give him respite, they say. So it acts out, or it sounds like a story, but actually when you begin to study it, you can see it's a very costly mistake. That even costlier, because once you realize that you've done it and you don't repent and not do it. Now, some people say, well, the devil's there to help God do it. Oh, well, think about it now. Look out at the creation. And here I just talked about it. See what it provides. Why would God have to present something or create something that would help us become better when everything is right there to help you become better? It doesn't make sense. And when you see all the magnificence of the Creator, of God, of Allah, of Yahweh, of, you know, whatever you choose to say, Jehovah, whatever, you know, the Lord, you know, you don't see those missteps and miscues. Not on his part, on our part, absolutely. And we have to acknowledge it's only that because we're human. We don't seek perfection. We seek excellence. Because you're never going to get to perfection. Is not going to get you anywhere. We're not perfect. You know? We sin by day and by night. That should tell you you're not perfect. And you have a God, a Lord, a Creator that genuinely wants you to succeed and do well and fare well and get the full benefit of being here and find out why you are here and then begin to execute and express it in a way that it benefits your fellow human being. Now, I know it's easy to say, you know, and most people, they kind of dress it up a little bit and they say, well, you know, God is not finished with me, you know, so I got a few whatever, you know, I got to deal with, you know, I got to outgrow or I got to, you know, I'm not God, so I don't know if that's a good theory or not. I don't know. But what I do know is my humanity, me being a human being, you know, overdoing certain things, and then the next day you pay for it. You know, you're tired, you stayed up all night, and you got 2 hours of being in the bed. Not sleep, you just was in the bed with your eyes closed, you know. And eventually you woke, you did get to sleep and it was time to get up. And you, now you're tempted to call in sick or something of that magnitude so you can continue this love affair with the bed that you just had or just always having. And especially since, like I said before, you were sleep broken, didn't rest good, didn't sleep good, and you just needed, you know, I just need a little more. I just need a couple more hours. In fact, you look at it and really say, I just need the whole day, really. I think that's the best solution. And it won't change until you change by getting to work and realize that that's not how you solve it. It doesn't get solved. Your absence or your overdoing doesn't get solved by not going or sleeping longer. It doesn't work like that. You build a structure or you develop a routine or you develop a plan and you begin to implement it and it begins to do what plans and teams and skills, whatever you want to call them. They serve you so you can better serve God. This is a fact. It's easy to say because that's the way, that's what it is. That's how it works. And then when it works and you recognize that that's what's going on, that's what's working, you praise Allah and thank Allah. I'm a part of this. I don't know what I would be doing if I wasn't. I don't even know if I would be alive. I know I would have been a tool and a fool for the society because I didn't know that I didn't know. And everybody around me, they acted like I was this and that, gave me a nickname and all that, man, and happy to see each other. We get high five, low five, up five, down five, fist bump, all that. So you could see how it could be a problem. You know, I'm doing adding a little humor to it, but when you look at how many people are lost in that tradition and lost in that those rituals, so you have to ask yourself, could it be someone could get lost in rituals? They think that their prayer is going to do this. They think that their fasting is going to do this. They think that their clothes are going to do this. They think that every other word is Allah is going to do that. Nowhere do we read that. A thick old law, you know, it tells you, yeah, you know, you could repeat it 100 times or 1,000 times. Yes, that's all true. But what I'm trying to address is when we go to an extreme, we spend too much time and we turn the religion into something or we turn that ritual into something that it never was intended to be. Can't do what you think it's going to do, which is going to get you closer to God and show this holiness that you have, this purity that you have to God. If you have it, which in fact we all have the potential to have it, then you don't need to show it to God. And that way, you need to show it to God by doing God's work, doing God's will, following God's plan, finding our purpose. Now you're really on track for to get some big-time blessings. But doing things, like Allah says, that doesn't benefit me. Praying to me does not benefit me. You praying to God does not benefit God. And it's not like, duh, you know, it's not like a human response. He simply tells us to know the content and the context and keep things in perspective. Someone may be trying to lead you down that path so you can walk around thinking you're holier than thou and you're getting all these blessings that you're not getting because the ritual wasn't intended to do that. It was intended to develop a muscle where you actually establish prayer in your life and you make that prayer according to a system. Our time system, and you don't make up your prayers, which means you have made your life conform to the religion of Islam, and you find time or you find a way to say your prayers daily or follow them. And then the extra ones, you know, get the extra benefit because you've grown to understand, you know. It's a lot more needed to be done on my part for me to expect this, that, and the other. And when you do come to that conclusion, truthfully, and you do something about it, oh, man, suddenly begin to feel, wow, why wasn't I doing this earlier? You know, why didn't I ask this question Why didn't I go forward with thinking that this was it, that I had arrived? All I had to do is keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm heavenly bound. So what's happening while you're doing all this? The world around you is going to hell in more ways than one. I went to the bank before I came, and I saw this woman and a younger person, couldn't say a daughter, but as I listened, she seemed to be mother and daughter going to the bank. But before they could get into the door, it was the girl that walked ahead of her, got ahead of her, like, I'm doing this, you know, and I'm like, okay. And her mother is asking her, like, I can't hear what she's really asking her, but she's saying, oh, whoa. Let's get our act together before we go in there, because I'm saying this and you're saying that, and this is what's going to happen, not what you're saying. And so they go back and forth, and the girl seems to be getting more irritated, like, you just trying to run my life and da, da, da. So all this little drama, and they get in there and they get done whatever they, I think, get done, and they get it resolved enough to where they were not going to argue in front of the banking people. But it just reminded me of the state of affairs. And she looked like, she definitely was a teenager. And her mother was trying to exercise authority. But she was letting the child get her upset. So what the child wasn't hearing, that, you know, I'm your mother and I need to make these decisions. And when you get old enough, you'll make them for yourself. But right now, I need to do this and not do that. And you need to calm down and not think you're going to get your way because you're upset with me, or you think you're old enough or intelligent enough, whatever. But both of them were really emotional about it, and that wasn't coming across. Because it seemed like neither one of them had the ability to calm down and listen to the other one and get on the same page and go in there and do what they needed to do. Not going here, I didn't come all this way to the bank with you, mother, for you to say no. See, what kind of attitude is that? I get what I want when I want it, especially now I'm old enough to handle this, and I want you to start raising me or acting like it. And it doesn't work like that. You know, it's, I guess this is not necessarily the best answer, but that's not on the level you should be as a human being. Cats and dogs don't do that. And they're not supposed to be the lower animal, you know. That cat appreciates, that dog appreciates, that puppy appreciated what was happening and how he got to where he's at and can live on, you know, on his own and protect himself and won't die out in the wilderness, you know what I'm saying, unless they're just so domesticated, somebody take them home and make them into family, you know. But the dog has been raised to be, to handle itself no matter the circumstances. And that, You see cats, dogs, deers, bears, they get more protected once they got young. I want you to have a full life. And so when I feel strangeness or strangeness, I get on my best guard and I get on, I show another side to protect the innocent. They, you know, you look at the snake, all of a sudden, animal, they're not hostile or anxious to do harm to us as human beings. But you let us be around their babies and see what they do. And I'm saying all that to say, bear, lion is that way. How do we get to the point when they get older, it seems harder to deal with them? Or feels that way. It can feel that way. Let me clarify it some more. And there's a lot of people, there's many people that aren't having those kind of problems. And they really, really, really should think a lot, you know, and be conscious of what they need to do to continue for it to be that way. Because it's very challenging. Almost every human relationship that we have is very challenging today. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot to do with people not being educated about the process. Parents don't have a book that they can go in. I mean, we have a book, and there's a book to get it, but most people are not aware. So they go to their own instincts, or they go about the way they was raised, and they try to get you to, you know, conform to the same thing. And as people, as the people are finding out, like the mother was finding out, it don't quite work like that. You can tell her that you didn't ever talk to your mother like that, and she can be of the mood that I'm not talking to you anything like that. I'm just telling you what I want, and you're telling me what you're going to do, and it's upsetting me. And that upsetting me is upsetting you, and here we are arguing in the front of the bank. And I'm not going to give up my belief that I can handle and do this, what you say I can't handle, you know. And so, not to make a long story long, but just witnessing that, it told me a lot about what's the state of affairs in the world. Because you got, as a child, you got as far as you got because of your parents. Parents, because the child just doesn't know, it didn't have to be born, and has a lot of dependency issues. We're trying to get them to the point to where they're going to be independent and still have a sense of interdependency. They're going to come and visit, and they're going to come and acknowledge without maybe acknowledging, hey, you know what? I really need to thank you. You know, I really need to appreciate all that you did to get me where I'm at. And, you know, the best is yet to come. And they should acknowledge that, and then we should acknowledge, yes, a lot of what you're praising me for, we thank God. I thank God daily that I was that way, because I could have been another way. Could have been very punitive. I could have been very dictatorial. I could have been caught up in it's my way or the highway. See, that kind of language, we talked about language last week, that kind of language was prevalent for some people growing up. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That gave a lot of people a lot of license. I mean, and you, some people got spankings, some people got whippings, some people got beat down with whatever was in the person's hand or whatever they could find. Man, they just flew. And here's the thing about it that we have to take into consideration. These are not crazy people. These are human people who are not in touch with their humanity. Overwhelmed with being a parent. And it's apparent that they are overwhelmed with being a parent. It's very obvious. And many of us got mishandled. We got that tough love scenario, and it went way beyond what it should have. And some of the good, healthy, you know, beat out of us are got to made to be feel. You get down, you obey or else. And a lot of people, I'm guilty, killed some of the spirit that was supposed to stay strong, like the first time they say no, you know, or why. It can be a bit much. And I see it wearing the parents out today. They just wanted to go away. Well, what do you want? You know, I'll buy it. I'll do something. You just, ooh, give me a break. See, law and order. In order for you to have peace of mind. What did I read that? I didn't. I saw my grandmother demonstrate it. This is not going to get out of control. I'm going to take it upon myself to correct the situation in a way you see the wisdom in obeying. I'm not going to threaten you with whooping you. I'm going to remind you of a couple of things, and I'm going to base it on the good book that I believe in, and I'm going to look at the logic that's in that book and the common sense advice that it gives to those of you who seek it. And she had, I don't know how many sayings, you know. And it just made you stop, think, and then act. You know, you should tell you think five times, you know, then act, you know. But what she would do, she would just be so profound and show you. Okay, let's look at it. You want to do this. I told you no. Or your mother told you no, or whatever. Whoever told you you couldn't do it, you then got upset and you decided to give them a piece of your mind. And what needs to be done is, I see you, 314. You're not in accord with how it, the hierarchy works, which none of us asked for, but since we have it, we have to implement it in a way that order is maintained and peace and law and order. See? Not just order, law and order. These things are not personal. They are the principles that have to govern our lives, because if it wouldn't, things would get out of control. Totally chaotic. You've seen households that haven't got the command in it, and the child is running the house or running around wreaking havoc because nobody says, hey, look, you need to stop that. You need to just sit down, calm down, let's talk this thing through. I'm going to be fair and just, but what we're not going to do here, we're not going to let you as a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 6-year-old run the house. And then when you get found out you can't run the house, you come running back to us and throw it back on us. No, we're not going to go down that road. And we're not going to try to beat it out of you. We're not going to try to scare straight you. We're not going to go back and get stuff that says, gives you the power to do that. When I became a Muslim and I started thinking about corporal punishment or capital punishment or whatever, I told myself, if it doesn't change the mind, don't mess with the behind. Allah bless me with that. If you are punishing them and you're exercising your will, they are going to stay the way that they are still. It's like an ointment. I'm going to conclude and get 314. So it's like an armor. You rub it in and you massage it and it does the healing. It's medicine. And so what do they say? You get more with honey than you get with vinegar. But if the occasion needs more medicine, more medicinal, more not good tasting castor oil, you know what I'm saying? It needs that. Then we have to have the ability to give that. Because it has everything to do with, I got to nip this in the bud now, otherwise it's going to plague the future. It's not going to be pleasant. He's going to carry that out into the world, and the world's going to be even more crueler than he thinks I am or she thinks that I am for not letting her have what she wants or have her way or have his way. We got to see that ahead of time. And I see the world missing that, and they're trying to use love as a medium to get good behavior. Doesn't work. Never was intended to do that. Law and order. Okay. Let's go. 314. State your name. Where you calling from? Where you got a question or comment?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your astute radio listening audience there at IWDM Radio. Mark Shaheed from the STL, that's the gateway city of St. Louis and the show me state of Missouri. I always want to say Alhamdulillah. And for those who don't know, it just simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. And, you know, you're hitting on some very sharp points indeed. And it just struck me when you talk about the importance of law and order. You know, law and order, even in the first social unit, which mm-hmm. is the family life, you know, that's the second womb that we actually grow up in. Of course, we had to get here first. So we knew it was the womb of our mother. And even in that womb, it was law and order. The life for it to survive and to have a presence in this world, it was under law and order. It seemed like your grandmother and my grandmother might have been sisters. You know, in terms, because my grandmother only went to the fifth grade in a Mississippi school, but she would always say, I don't have much education, but I have a lot of mother wit. Mother wit. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure, you know, it's actually my intention, if not to do a book, but maybe at least a pamphlet, and title it Family Wow, you know, and that wow would be for words of wisdom. And she perhaps gave the most in terms of words of wisdom. But when you look at what it is that you said in terms of law and order, you know, we can begin now with what it is that we've learned in terms of the natural world, the natural creation. And actually, the natural creation actually brings and gives a word or message to us in terms of how our lives as a human society should be shaped and formed. And it begins in terms of order. And the one that has created everything, the Creator, he has given a order, and that order has been fulfilled, and also have put the whole of creation, even biologically, under law. You know, we probably don't think about that, but it's happening every day. And as a result of that, I want to add a third thing to that in terms of peace. So when we have law and we have order, and so the natural creation really bears witness that it's under law and it's in conformity with the order that has been given to it in terms of what it is that it does. And as a result of that, is peace in the natural creation, but that also should translate to the human family. And in that you'll find beauty, as we find the beauty in the natural creation, as Imam Muhammad has said to us, that beauty should also be seen in human society. And so then you go back to the first social unit, which is the sacred institution of family life, and we should see it there. If we see it there, then it would be translated in terms of the human society, and that's so very important because what you just said is foundational. No law, no order. No order, no peace. No peace, no beauty. I mean, I'm hoping that's making some sense there. And actually, the ultimate goal for us is to establish an ethic and a just society. But if we don't have law, there's no law. Everybody can just do what they want to do. So if we have that misconception of what freedom is, just do your thing. Do whatever you want to do. I can't tell you who to socket to. But if I can get those words to resonate in the minds of people, now I can alter the perception in terms of how we see life. And we can see life in an unlawful way. We can see freedom in terms of an irresponsible way. But if we begin to see that law is very, very important for us to have order in life, and to have the peace that we like to have in our life and every aspect of it, then we can see the beauty. And this is establishing the natural creation, and it actually sends that message. So I can say more, but I really appreciate the information you're disseminating here on this production. That's so very, very important. I think it sends a powerful message, especially for those who have an ear, who's really listening and said, wow, I don't have that. I don't have that. How do we get that? How do we get that back? Well, we get it back through paying attention first to the natural creation, which is actually speaking. The question is, are we really listening? Are we really observing? And then revelation that actually points us back to the natural creation in terms of what's there, what Allah has put there, what God has put there, what the Creator, if you don't say Allah, and what the Creator has put there. And then the purpose for putting in there and all what it is that we get as a benefit from just observing it. I'll stop there. I think I said enough. Hopefully, you know, my nickel's worth here would be helpful in terms of actually how we should see order, law and order, how they go together, how it one produces the other, which leads from law to order, from order to peace. You can't, have you ever seen peace without having order? Have you ever seen peace without having law? I mean, these are just questions we should have. And then, have we ever seen beauty without any one of those three? So that's what it is that we want to have in this life. As it said, on earth as it is in heaven. So heaven gives us those type of concepts that we want to have actually in human society. And we can establish that, but it has to be some type of law that is followed. And so we can get the order. That's part of the structure. And whereas we can have the peace and we can have the beauty that Allah intended for us to have right here on earth. I stop there. I appreciate you always. Al-Islam-based conversation. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, brother. So we send an invitation to anyone else on your punch wall on your phone. Come on in and let us hear from you. And if you have a question or a comment, we would definitely appreciate it. Because I enjoy what I'm doing, but I enjoy more when I'm doing with someone else. I mean, there's nothing better than good conversation and good food. And in this particular case, it would be food for thought. You're dining, and you're dining off of this meal that we're putting out here, and we're trying to offer something that actually becomes a legitimate alternative to what they offer, because they got a meal for you. You know, they got entertainment, and they got shows, and they got just about anything we want. Taking any level that they want. They tell you it's PG-13, it's TVMA and R's, and they got NC-17. They got all kind of stuff. They tell you, hey, look, you know, be ready to deal with it. And what they do, when I say they, it was like, who the hell is they? Well, you know, that's a good question. I'm not even going to try to answer necessarily as that. We have enemies. We talked a little bit about the story, how it got to be that way and how it is still that way and what we need to do to not fill in the hell that comes with it, you know, because that's what comes with it. Pure chaos and that pleasureful life. Like I said before, I don't know how ugly it would have got or could have got if they didn't calm down in front of the bank there. I don't know what words were said. I don't know if it's going to continue after the transaction is done. I don't know if it's going to be on the newspaper or on the news when you see it. But I do know things are happening like that. I do know I picked up the paper and it said that this man stabbed his mother 23 times. What could drive a human being to the extent that they could stab their mother that many times and not feel, I mean, that is intentionally trying to kill somebody. And I'm saying to you that our nature rejects that. The warmth and love you have for the woman who brought you into the world and carried you around for 9 months in her womb And you ate, when she ate, you ate. And you got 12, you was 12 years old too, by the way. Young man. But go back and do a little math. Let's do a little math. If he was 12 years old, how many violent, just overly violent programs, how many games does he have? How does he entertain himself? What does he think about this thing called life? Has he figured out the little nuances, how it works and what doesn't work? Has he gotten a little selfish and a little devilish about how he gets his way? Maybe because he's the only child. There's no competition in the house. He gets anything and everything that he wants because he's the only child. And he's a mama's boy. See, isn't that? We even have a daddy's girl. All those little nuances come into play. And we think we're doing good. You know, we don't realize you're borderline worshiping that child that you and your mother, you and your wife conceived. You played your role. She played her role, and next thing you know, you got a child, and you want the best for that child. And you're saying things to the child's mother that you love the ground she walks on. She's been so great in your life, and you call her your sunshine. Now, okay, but what's happening when we do that, we're overlooking the creator that is providing all this stuff that we're complimenting the individual. And the individual is getting drunk off of it, and they letting you compliment and, you know, thank you. Because you know, next thing you know, something going to come to show your appreciation, jewelry or vacation or something, you know. And that the beat goes on. People have gotten out of bounds, going to an extreme with this thing, trying to produce something that tells the other individual that I love you. What about the saying that says, action speaks louder than words? What about that? How about that? Tell me, show me. And then what happens? The both of us know. And then we can stop the plot. Yeah, you know, I got to train her. You know, I got to train him. He do pretty good, but he ain't there yet. I got to get him where he wrapped him around my little finger. I say jump. He say how high. Now, I'm laughing because this is not funny. But it's not. It's funny, but it's not a joke. Changing their mate after they get married, so they marry him. Oh, he ain't gonna be that way long. Yeah, I'm gonna break that habit. Who are you getting permission to tamper with somebody's mental makeup so you can get what you want or what you think you're supposed to get because you married them? Maybe you shouldn't have married that person. Maybe you should have married somebody who was closer to wanting to shower you with, you know, gifts and all of that, and it didn't bother them. And they had the wherewithal, and they could afford it, and it wasn't necessarily about you. It was whatever, whatever. But how about this one, though? How about having the humbleness to say, hey, look, don't love me that much. See, that's a spot reserved only for the creator. I don't even want to come close to occupying that, your mind, your spirit, your attention, your movement is trying to, you know, show me that you love me and you are happy, you know, that you found me and I'm your soulmate and on and on and on. Now, am I saying don't say that? No, I'm not saying don't say that. I'm saying don't let that become worship. Because what? We're human beings. We're vulnerable. We get emotional. We look like we crying, but it's the tears of joy. And if you're looking at the person, you can't tell the difference. See, that's the human being. Huh? We can adapt. Huh? We can change. And we can fight. Stay alive. If we're threatened, our life is threatened. There's a strength. There's a adrenaline that gets hyper. And he lets the person know, whatever was the situation, know, hey, I ain't going down without a fight. And I'm telling you this before we even get into the fight. Because I believe God is God. And I don't believe I'm going to go until he say I'm going to go. So I'm pretty much thinking I'm going to beat this. And I'm thinking also it may be a possibility you don't have a God like that. You don't believe in God like that. You don't trust God like that. You don't pray to God like that. See? So I'm believing that the God and the angels are going to be on my side. And I came from home, and I'm going to return home healthy. See? And I'm going to do whatever it takes to do that. And that's not mean mugging. No. That's survival. Because at that same time that you got that context, have enough ability to walk away and live to fight another day. You don't give people too much power when you resist the temptation to do bodily harm to them because you feel like they might be trying to bodily harm you or one of your loved ones. Having been in the military, I was trained to kill or be killed. But my nature didn't conform a lot because it wasn't that kind of threat. We're in another country defending them people because they was our allies or we was some kind of affiliated with them. We didn't want that country to get taken because that would open up communism and all that kind of stuff. So we went to battle for them. And then when we came back home, we didn't get the reception of the World War I, World War II soldiers. Youngest war that had been, everybody was, I was 17 years old. I didn't know anything about life. I didn't know anything about what they were talking about. But I did know that there was a lot of attention being given to us as a people. And a lot of things that we were doing and saying had a lot to do with that. And somebody still feel the need. Some of us still feel the need to continue with that rhetoric. That's what it is. It's rhetoric. All you got to do is go back to, what was his name? I want to say Jenkins, but it's not his name. But anyway, when he said, how come we just can't get along? See, that's putting it out there pretty strong. Because how come we can't just get along? What is preventing that? That the fact that he or they treated us like we were slaves and the worst slavery in the history of mankind. But what did we see today? Did we see a slave? We see the effects of slavery, but we also see the ability to move toward freedom, justice, and equality and get some results. You see movies of people who did it and they didn't ever tell us. So if we would pursue our own history, tell our own history, you know, have our own look at ourselves as a race of people or ethnic people and make note of the fact that when we started the movement of civil rights, it turned into human rights. And other people who are being oppressed came forward and demanded South Africa and other places that they be allowed to pursue life the way the Creator intended. No one should be telling you what you can do and can't do and holding you back and oppressing you and feeding you with a bunch of garbage so you'll be a domesticated slave for the rest of your life willingly and put documentation that says to you about all your flaws and all your problems and what you did and what the Bible says about it, and, you know, on and on and on. To the point when you got in the mirror, you didn't like what you saw. And you start altering stuff. Mm-hmm. Trying to get a look more like your oppressor. I mean, they actually had cream, black and white, and I forget the name of the other one. But the hair dudes and all that. All that stuff. So, you know, if it's painful to go back and you still want to play the they game, yes, they did that. Yes, they did things. Everything we talked about, they did. But what did God do after they did that? He produced a new people. That's what God did. Not only a new person, but a very different and very rapid. It had to do certain things to survive, and they have a unique way of saying things, doing things, whatever. But if we don't do what we need to do with what we've been blessed to get, to do it with, then, you know, God and I already say, look, this is a must. You're the perfect candidate to do it because you've been excluded. Now it's time for you to include it. So you have a lot that you can share with the rest of the world because it happened in real life and in real time. But what really needs to happen is we need to be clear on how do we address it. Because like the saying says, hurt people, and what we don't add to that is the other H word, the body will self-heal. That means mind, body, or soul. You get enough truth in there, and it will reject what was in there that told you you were three-fifths of a human. They had a plan for you to be a domestic Negro and a slave for the rest of your life. Doesn't Allah telling you you're Abdullah, doesn't that resonate? Doesn't that give you perspective? He didn't say after this or after that. No, you're born that way. Certain inalienable right. The promise given to us human beings. Not we going, but y'all don't know. No. And if we would act like that, and give ourselves the permission slip to act like that and not get upset and get nervous or get spiteful when people do act like that. We just may be expressing it a little different and a little, I don't know. It's like being pregnant. You can't explain it. You know, there's some other things in line too, but that just popped in my head. There's so many, there's things that happen that you can't explain. There is a God, but you cannot see that God, but know for sure that he can see you. So what does that do? That keeps you from looking up at the sky thinking that there's some man up there called God that's doing all this stuff. Or that there's some spooky stuff if you pray on this set of dirt, or earth, is going to be different than if you prayed on the other set of dirt and earth. Now, there's some things that need to be said like that, but not like that. Because all of those are symbols to get you to do something of a higher, excellent nature, to get you in a pristine culture that does things differently than the other cultures, and thus they get greater results and rewards. But it didn't happen because you were in a certain location and you went through certain rituals. And you can see that God is trying to get that kind of thinking because he tells us, if you'll do this and you'll do that and you'll do that, but don't ever forget to do this. This is important. So you do this, not because you go over there, but because you recognize that level of thought that takes you there one way and send you back another way. Because you have elevated and enlightened yourself in a way that you come back differently than when you were sent. You got the fullness of the journey because you got the purification that you needed. You got the explanations that you needed. You got the education that you needed. So now you can go back, each one reach one, each one teach one. A living example to model the religion that you love. It will be in your life, working for your life, for the rest of your life. How many people can say that? Not repeat what I said. How many people can say that because that's what's going on? I'm pausing because that's a point we need to think about. Do you say that to yourself without saying it to yourself? You don't have to say it because I said it. You don't have to even think that it will have the same impact on you. But what you have to do is look at the logic, look at the language, and that's what is working, not me, or not what I say it. It's 1, 2, 3 steps. It's a formula. What does that mean? It means you can take it and use your version of it. It's available for that. It's not, oh, plagiarizing. I said that first, and I was going to grab my book and stop it. Go to the book. It tells you what to do. Do it and write your book too. Okay? But Allah said this religion is easy, and it should be made easy. I'm making it easy for you. As we go back a little bit, to follow the rules that what? Regulate. If you want to see something bad, you see an out-of-control human being. Not running around just shooting people. Shooting a needle in their arm to inject a very toxic, dangerous drug. See, or putting... having a piece of paper rolled up so you can snort some kind of drug into your nose to the point you're eating away the nostril or eating away whatever. And you have no concept of how moved your life forward because all that went using a drug, that's what it does. It makes you a shell of what you used to be. And that appetite that used to drive you to do this and do that, it's gone. The only appetite you have is to go and get high, to get access to the drug. Now, those are symbols if you turn around and see that you're acting like you're on drugs, but you're not on drugs. You're drunk with all of the things that's been asked of you to do that you find a little bit more challenging than it really is. The more we grow, the more we gain the ability to do what needs to be done. And then when the responsibility to do it comes forward, then we do it. Praising Allah all the time as we go forward. And as you begin to do that and you begin to hear that, you become to be that. And then you can do like the brother mentioned. There's no stopping you now. You live your life for the love of Allah. And once you love Allah, Allah loves you. Us back. He loves us back, not you. He loves us back. And you see that love is being demonstrated because you see things that happen in your life that you know there's no way you could have brought that about. No way you could have moved someone's heart to say and do what they did. Or you do little things that get you rewards. You know, I'm like Imam Muhammad. I find dimes in the strangest place. And I know that's a signal from Allah. I know a little bit about 10. I know a little bit about that. I know a little bit. But why put the dime there? Why? What is it supposed to register with me? What am I supposed to see that symbol? Money? No, I don't. I see the 5 connected with another 5. I see sight become vision. because it's met its mate. Did the sights together, so now you can see further down the road. Before, you could only see as far as, you know, what is it, as your nose. Knowledge that just had its limit. It had an expiration date on it. But then you get wisdom that doesn't have an expiration date. It's universal in its ability. It extends beyond the test of time. In fact, it doesn't have an end date. It doesn't have an expiration date. It was there waiting for you to get here. It will be waiting for those who are coming after you to get here, to take it to the next level, to correct the wrongs that have been put in our way or put in our, I won't say in our book, but in the approach that many of us have, and the way we read and understand what the book is saying. Because when you read it on that surface level, you get surface understanding. When you dig deeper, wider, broader, higher, then you get an elevated version. You know, and that elevation will lead to a purification, okay? And that purification will lead to the kind of protection that you're looking for, okay? Harm won't visit your house. Now, the one thing that people get confused, and I'm going to conclude here, is that they don't want anything bad. Or God says, verily, after difficulty comes ease. And when we look at that, it explains what we talked about earlier about the birth of the child. He comes into the world on the heels of labor, and the mother is in that state until the child is delivered. So isn't that the way it is with us in those triple wounds of darkness? Doesn't it take time to get out of one, and then once you get out of one, it's like baby, child, adult. But don't some people never grow up? They get to be old enough chronologically, but they don't grow up mentally and spiritually. So what can be expected from someone of that age is a refrain that we hear all the time. There's no fool like an old fool. It's not meant to ridicule. It's meant to wake you up before it's too late. Because Allah's in charge of time. You may see yourself as old, but you're not too old to come before your Lord and repent. Seriously repent. I'm seeing this as being an error in my way. I am being led astray, or I am gone astray, and I will be left astray because I'm not acting like I want to be led. I'm not acting like I want to go to that next step after this life and have salvation and have all of the rewards that are talked about. And I'm not just talking about them and praising Allah for telling me about them. I'm actually trying to get myself in a position to get rewarded. If this is to be had, I want to get the best. So I adhere to those that were given much as required. So, you know, in the basketball, they tell you leave it all on the court. But that's what the religion is telling you, too. When you go to bed, you should get a good night's sleep, because you did something to get rewarded with a good sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, you feel refreshed, you feel alive, and you're ready to rise and shine. See, that's a good feeling when you really got something to get up for, and you just can't hardly wait. You just get in there, and you just get ready, and you just got a smile. It don't have to be on your face. It could be inside. I can remember when I first went to Hajj, and it was a joyful trip. Nothing would spoil the joy. Some people went and they couldn't leave. Passport wasn't this and that and that. From the time that I got there to the time that I left, I felt Allah's presence. And I felt him give me the present of saying, I accept your Hajj. Now, you may not think, or maybe you didn't think you did enough or whatever, but what is the governing point? Matters are judged by intention. You made the effort to get to where this pilgrimage is and paid the money and got to group rate and everything and said the prayers and did it on that Mount Arafat and all that and you threw the rocks. And wasn't some kind of vacation? No. It was me fulfilling the fulfiller to the best of my ability. And then going back and act differently than I acted before. Do more than I did before. In a position to have the spirit that I have now about this religion and about others who are in it and a whole world who don't know nothing about it. They're condemning something they don't even know. They talk about Islamophobia. You don't even know Islam. And the problem is the reason that they don't know Islam is because the Muslims who say they believe in Islam are not representing it properly. Too many Muslims are trying to emulate what they're doing in the West. You see it in Dubai. They got a Western version of the Las Vegas and all that stuff in Dubai. It started out to be pride of the Arabs or whatever. And the more they did it, it's just like you do when you're building buildings. Aesthetically, they just get beyond. A lot of them need you to bring any people into that building with all that, you know, calligraphy and lights and whatnot. If you go to Hajj, you know, the Prophet's mosque, they whatever. But you see the Mao, you see that little humble one that was the first one, you see Bilal and all that. But what am I trying to say? Trying to say to us to understand what Allah says very clear. You can't take it with you. So don't give so much attention to it. Don't clutter up and buy up a lot of stuff when it doesn't matter. And we all know we do it. We over consume. Even though while we call ourselves poor, we get happy about this, that, and the other, and we go. And I'm not saying you're going to hell for doing that. I'm saying be conscious of what you're doing, and then you'll see you'll behave better. And it won't be that valuable or impressive. You know, you won't have to. I see some pretty cars, but I don't see any of them pretty enough for me to go and get in debt and have a $500 car payment and a $300 insurance payment, and that goes most of my money on two items. What about those other items? And God forbid if I have children, how would I take care of them? Go out and bow five times in front of the nice, beautiful car or a nice, beautiful house? Allah says he gave you the mind for you to use and develop an affordable lifestyle. Don't let these people sell you a bill of goods. Biggie Small himself, rapper, he doesn't always say some of the things that I agree with when he says them, but he said this and I agree. Don't buy the hype. See, don't be fooled by it. Don't be tricked by it. It's still the same. You can't take it with you. So don't try to take and get it all because it ain't going nowhere. It's going to go right back in the ground like you are. To dirt we come and to dirt we return. Same thing with that cotton and that silk or that whatever. It came from there, it's going to go back. And what are we trying to do here? Keep you from... No, you dress. I love clothes. but I love people more. I love what rightly guided people can do more. Man, when you're on the earth with rightly guided people, when you do get away to a place like that and you get to see people there that are just devoted, it's contagious. And you just have to submit and put your crown on the ground because Allah gave you the provisions to get over there and be a part of it. So when people ask you, you can tell them, yeah, I made Hajj. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The last pillar. See? And rather than let this be an Islamic language, I mean, there are things that should be in place to bring out the best in you as a human being. For me, it was Hajj and the whole experience. I was a better person after that. I felt like I had walked in the land, on the land of those prophets that came before me. And Allah had allowed me to come to his house, which is not, I'm just using the words that are set in place. But if we're not careful, we'll start thinking that Allah is thinking like a man and describing himself like a man. No, that's not what's happening. We as humans have to get it so we can comprehend it. So he gives us definitions and things, but he tells us, can't see me, I can't see you. And one of the reasons that that's true, but I can see you, is that I'm not anything concrete. So what does that tell us to do, or tell us not to do? Quit trying to see me and think of me in physical terms. You're gonna miss it every time. Yeah, but I think he already off to a bad start. He's not, you know. And everything you see, he created. So that can't be him. It can only be something that's here to benefit you so you can get your job done as the leader, as the caliph, or whatever terminology works for you depending on what level you're at. So let me do this. Let me see if I can get my brother back on here, and we can walk through what this Mawaqeen Muhammad blog radio is all about. And definitely want to hear about other people that are trying to do what I hope I'm doing, which is share this beautiful message and share the beauty and the enlightenment and the future that it has made me think about it and want to do and want to accomplish. So if I can get my brother back on here to give us a brief synopsis of what goes on here and what gets me excited about Mondays and what has me putting pen to paper, I would appreciate it. Wait a minute, bro. I ain't working. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
To
you, Imam Nazim Pasha. Boy, I tell you, it's really rich and enrichment, you know, today. And, you know, I was just, you know, just thinking in my mind, you know, it's often said that life is really complex. But actually, you know, I think the more that we open ourselves up to life, you know, living, and of course as a wordologist, that word to me, and I convey, is living in faith every day. And light illuminating for everything. The longer we live, the more we are blessed to get insight. We see how simplistic it really is. It's not very complex. And once we can identify the Creator and then can identify who we are in our relationship to the Creator, And then our relationship to other fellow human beings, starting with family, community, human society, our relationship to the creation and all of that that comes with it, we see that it's very, very simplistic. And then this is where we really discover our real purpose, our real purpose for being, you know. And I've used this acronym, you know, for a few years now, and two, it really means people understanding the real plan of successful existence. People understand the real plan. What's the real plan? The real plan is the plan of the Creator. Of what? Successful existence. You know, we exist, but we exist for a reason and a purpose. And this gives value to the life of the human being, but not only value, but the respect that we have for human life, and also, more importantly, our relationship to our Creator, and as you mentioned early on, how we serve the Creator, because the Creator is independent of everything and everybody, the whole of the creation, which meaning that really, how do we serve humanity? And the best of you are the ones, as the prophet has said, is the one that's most useful and most beneficial to humanity. That came to mind in terms of really summing up a lot of the things that were said today, always in terms of Alice Fong-based conversation, because regardless of whatever it is that we really give, a summation of that is as to who we are, who the Creator is, and what our relationship is to the Creator. And thus, in serving the Creator, we will be serving another human being or human beings. I just wanted to say that before I say that the beat does go on here on IWDM Radio. Excellent presentation, as always, by Imam Nazim Pasha. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with our very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam. And he's joined by his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. That's each and every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central, and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with Rashid Salam and Instructor Abdul Shaheed. Wednesday is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with a very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean from out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we actually teach what is correct parenting from Alice Lam base. You tune in, you'll get things about family that you probably never heard before from Al-Islam base, and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. I think that's worth listening to, and just what I said, it should pique your curiosity in terms of that. And then following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is the MGM Roundtable. That stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, where I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, also outside of the community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. That happens each and every Wednesday evening starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Thursday is the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that would be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with your hosts, Mark Shahid, and this happens each and every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, and we have been featuring the True Love Recipe, and we'll be on the letter N, N-O. And also we've been featuring outstanding couples for over 3 months now, probably 3.5 months, that's been married for a long period of time. And even some young couples that got married when they was in high school, junior in high school, year after high school. But inshallah, come this Thursday, we will have a couple that's been married for 61 years. And out of that 61 years, 50 of those years, they were separated. I don't want to say too much because I want you to listen in to see what brought about that separation. But 61 years of marriage. And so, inshallah, the week after that, we may have a polygynous remarriage that will be on. So we do want you to tune in. That will be this Thursday, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Friday, it's a lot to Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. And those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back here to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. It happens each and every Friday starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And now we have a production here on Saturday. Yes, we have a production here on Saturday. It is called the Muslim Reading Club, and I'm hoping to want to do a little alteration with that to make it a little bit more palatable. But that's what it's called, the Muslim Reading Club, hosted by Imam Mikhail Sahir. It's an Arger production, was last Saturday. It happens at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Muslim Reading Club, and the first book was Arger that is being read. And it's an outstanding publication. It needs to be a part of your library. And it's titled Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, The Mother of Our Nation. Oh, yes. This is a book that once you pick it up and you begin to read it, you won't be able to put it down. It's a two-book volume, part one, the early days, part two, the latter days. You want to purchase that book to tune in for the reading. And after the reading, there's a discussion. So it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And Sunday is Words Make People. Sound familiar? Once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, is each and every Sunday afternoon, and it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, you just heard it live with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha as he hosts this production called ABC. It's just as easy as 1, 2, 3, but it's Al-Islam-based conversation. And so you know a conversation, you want to have the communication, the exchange in regards to the host with those who tune in and listen in. So I'm actually encouraging you to invite family members, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, community members to tune in, to listen in terms of Al Islam-based conversation, and press one. And whatever the conversation is about, you can share whatever the insight that you like to share, or you can ask the question in regards to what is being shared. That happens each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That is Al Islam-based conversation with Imam Nazim Pasha. And we want you to tune in to all of the shows. They're all related to us, to our family, and also our community in human society at large. Also, last but not least, we do support the Muslim Journal, which has supported the lifeblood of this community for many, many years. And so we ask that you keep your subscription if you have the wherewithal. Think about a member in your family, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a community member, maybe a pioneer. Or what about your local library, where many can actually read the Muslim Journal? Also, we want you to know that IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful, to be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, I always like to end this salam is for you and yours. Back to you. Assalamu alaikum, Nazim Pasha.
Thank you, Brother Mar. I appreciate that very much. We are alive and well. Okay, you all, I'm going to call this a wrap. I really feel good about, like what Brother Mark was saying. We hope that some benefit came to somebody, because Islam makes a world of difference. It really does. In a world that really needs some attention to certain areas, we hope that people haven't given up, that religion has a place in your life. You just have to open up your doors and let it in. And then you can just start seeing the benefit. Now, obviously, if it's not telling all that it needs to tell, then you won't get all that you need to get. Truth is on the rise, I'll put it like that. And people find it very difficult to lie. Because if you're doing it and you say you're not doing it, eventually it's going to force you to show your true colors. So the thing to do, rather than get exposed as a hypocrite, is come on out. Come on out in the sun. It's good. Come on out in the light. It's good. It's healthy. And you'll feel better once you unburden yourself, where you can do and say things and not feel like you're indicted because you did it. Now, I'm not giving you permission to do wrong. You should feel bad if you do something wrong. But if you don't do wrong, you just think about it maybe a little bit, and then you realize before you didn't have that power, and now you have it. You know, things don't upset you like they used to. Things don't bother you like they used to. It's not about this, that, or the other. You know, it's about pleasing our Lord, helping to make the world a better place, and going to a life that's not about this life, but the next life, and getting a better understanding. So when you tell people that that's what you're doing, they can see the belief and the sincerity all over your face. And they know just by their intuitive senses, there's something a little bit different about you than other people, because you say all of that like you believe it. And when you can do that, because you do believe it, people around you will notice your belief and what it has done for you and what it continues to do for you. So, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. We thank you for your time, your presence, your contributions, and all. And we look forward to seeing you again next month, next week, inshallah. So Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.